Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 7 in our teaching on the Book of Ephesians, titled, Is Spiritual Warfare Real? Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
This doesn't happen that way here. Just about the time you get fixed with something, we change it. And just to let you in on a little secret, we're not thinking it's us that's changing it. We really think it's God. So we don't want to take responsibility. We don't want to take the glory of the change nor the wrath. Amen? Okay, thank you. So it is change once again. How can something grow without change? How can something be recreated unless it's changed? So change is a friend to a Christian, to a believer, because one day God's going to change your place of destiny, and He's going to take you from earth to heaven, and that's a pretty good change. Amen? I'm looking for that change. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get started this morning. This is our first shift into our Sunday morning. The youth, the children are meeting from 9:30 to 10:15. This will be a huge change. I'm sure some are wondering what's going on. But let's just ask and pray that God will give everybody grace and understanding as we make some of these changes. And Lord Jesus, we love You. We confess we have no idea what we're doing. But we also confess that You do. And so, Lord, we just lay aside all of our thinking, all of our everything about us. We lay it aside that You might be glorified. Because, Lord, we will help a little, but we'd like to be knowing we're helping You. Let us lay down our wisdom and have us have wisdom of heaven. Yes. Let it not make sense to man, but it makes sense to You. And Lord, we confess with open mouth that we're the children of God, and You're our Father, and You have all good things for us. And if we stumble and fall, the only thing You ask us to do, Lord, is just get back up. So we confess we're going to run, fall a lot, but we're going to get back up because we know You love us. And all that was in agreement with that said, amen. Just amen right there. Last teaching, book of Ephesians. I'm having to move right quickly through the finishing of this book this week. As we move on, don't forget your last week's notes and everything's at the back. You can pick that up. Our CDs are a little light this week. They will be there next week. We do have some, but I ran out of CDs. And Staples didn't realize how big a hurry I was in. So they're in UPS, finally delivered them, I think, yesterday. So we're a little light on our CDs. They will all be replenished next week. You're welcome to them, giving them away. So be sure and pick those up at the back. Lesson 7, Ephesians. Is spiritual warfare real? Now, this is something that I did not put in the book of Ephesians. God saw fit to have it there. He also put it at the last chapter of the book of Ephesians for a reason. The Apostle Paul gave a lot of instruction to the body of Christ, about the body of Christ, about the mystery, about the secret of the grace of God, of some of the secrets that are hidden in the cross of Christ. The Apostle Paul gave this information. And then he ended with spiritual warfare. So he gave all of this great information of everything about us. But he ends it up with this revelation. It's a revelation about spiritual warfare. And I know we've had things about spiritual warfare in times past. And, you know, there was several years there we just about spiritual warfared it to death, you know. And we had a demon and a booger behind every bush. And then I went through a season I thought that wasn't true. And then in reality I found out there was two boogers behind that bush and every tree. Wasn't one. So, as we move forward, we cannot escape this revelation of spiritual warfare. And the question I put up there today, is spiritual warfare real? Well, you might not want to name it that, but there's something out there that is raising holy terror against the people of God. Now, I want to introduce you. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to jump right in there, probably about verse 10, just because I can't cover all the information here, I want to focus in on one particular, several passages here for our understanding. Now, I would like for you to consider that we're studying Ephesians chapter 6 here today. I would like you to consider that God ordained our teaching in the time that we would be discussing Ephesians chapter 6. Is that possible? Could it be that our church is we're kind of in the beginning stages of some reviving going on, and God's given us the book of Ephesians to study, and now we find ourselves in Ephesians 6 on September the 1st. Today we find ourselves here, and I just can't believe that it's by happenstance. I believe it's by spiritual design of God Himself. And I count it a privilege and honor that we can be discussing it. So as we look at it in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of what?"
His might.
Whose might?
His might.
The power of whose might?
His.
The power of His might. So it says to be strong in the Lord in the power. How are you going to be strong? Because you're going to have power. Where's the power come from? It comes from Him. It is important that we understand because so much in spiritual warfare, you can try to fight it from within yourself. You will never resolve it. How do you know if something in your life is spiritual warfare? Because you cannot resolve it. That's how you know. I'll use this term. It's bigger than you. And the quicker you get to the end of yourself, the quicker you are open to God's suggestions. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. How do you know if it's warfare? It's bigger than you. You cannot get it resolved. So therefore, you need God to resolve it for you. Is anybody with me? Now, let's look at it. What is spiritual warfare? It's voices. Have you ever heard the voice, "I'm just no good"? Anybody heard that one? "I'm just no good. I can't teach. I can't speak like so-and-so. I'm just no good." That's spiritual warfare. God's not saying that. You didn't come up with it. You just agreed with it. Come on. You're holding hands with it. That's where you say, "Amen, Alan, I understand." You're holding hands with the voices. I've been in and out of every mental hospital. My mother had a lot of problems. I was with her as an 8, 9, 10-year-old son till she died. I've been through every mental hospital in 2 states my whole life. I know about the voices. I know about the voices. Spiritual warfare is the voices. The voices are giving you something that you never resolve. Number one, you're just no good. Here's another one. Has anybody heard of this one? "I'm just not good enough." Anybody heard of that voice? Now, I'm just suggesting to you, this is spiritual warfare. I know what it looks like. I know how it starts. I know how subtle it is. And I know it's not God. And it didn't come from you. There again, you just held hands with it. You embraced it. You pulled it around you like a blanket. For some reason, we think it makes us feel good. How about this voice? "Everyone is better than me." I mean, come on. Just do the math. That can't be true. It's got to be somebody worse than you. I mean, come on. Do the math. It won't work. Anybody ever had that voice? Spiritual warfare. I need not get too excited about the things of God. It's probably just my imagination anyway, because God would not really talk to me. You can be sitting in here thinking, "Well, God's talking to everybody else, but He wouldn't talk to me." Spiritual warfare. That didn't come from God. Didn't come from you. I hate to inform you, you're not that smart. Came from the enemy. But you're agreeing with it. You're holding hands with it. You're saying, "Yeah, that's me. That's just me. I'm just not quite up to snuff. Listen, nobody's up to snuff. That's the reason Jesus died. That's the reason God said, I'm going to send you your spirit. Yours kind of stinks, so I'm going to give you mine. So you embrace Him or you embrace the voices. It's your choice. We're in revival, and I'm looking for, after this message this morning, we're going higher.
Yes.
But we got to do a little spiritual warfare. We got to kick Satan in the hinder parts a little bit. And you're the one that's got to do it in your life. I can't do it. You got to do it. I got to do it in my life. You got to do it in yours. First thing we got to do is identify our enemy. He's got voices. Anybody done this one? I just do not want to be noticed. So therefore, I will do nothing. No, I don't want nobody to notice me. Gosh, God's given me something down in here. It's just about to set me on fire, but I don't want to be noticed. So I'm going to sit back here. I'm not going to do anything. It's not God. Spiritual warfare. God's gifted everybody in here. God's given everybody a word. You come together, you got a song, you got a hymn, we got prophecy. Give testimony. If you got the Spirit of God in you, He's got it in you. Spiritual warfare, trying to shut you down. I got to move on. You might not get eggs today. Unbelief. Nothing will ever change. Has anybody ever said that? Well, this is the way it is. That situation or that person, they're never going to change. That's unbelief. You mean to tell me there's an individual bigger than God? You mean to tell me that somebody's hard-headedness is bigger than God? You mean to tell me God can't call circumstances to change and change your mind? Unbelief in God. What is unbelief in God? It's when you think nothing will ever change. Spiritual warfare. Now, I've identified a little spiritual warfare for you. Now, look at it in verse 10. You got your Bibles. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Look at verse 11. Put on the what? Full armor of God so that you will be able to do what? Stand firm against who? The schemes of the devil or the wiles of the devil. Now, I gave you a little paper when you came in here this morning. You should have gotten one. It says, you are a child of God. Does everybody see that? It's a little paper. Did you get it? Did nobody get it? Would anybody like one? Raise your hands right quickly. We're going to go around. I need two or three people to take those papers around. Raise your hands. I'm going to put one in your lap. Just raise your hands over here, 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 here. I want everybody to have one of these little papers up here, right over here. Now, on this paper, it says you're a child of God. Now, anybody ever heard of Nelson Mandela? Now, this Nelson Mandela quoted this, whether he's the originator of it or he quoted somebody else, I don't know. I've seen people say, well, Nelson Mandela didn't say that, and others said he did. I don't care. It still came out of his mouth. That I do know. But Nelson Mandela's got some incredible quotes. It's just absolutely incredible. Still a few. Here's what Nelson Mandela had to say about the voices. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do it on credit. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. Say glory.
Glory.
It's in me. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Nelson Mandela in prison when he did it. You see, The fear is, people are more afraid of succeeding than they are failing. God's in you. He's big. He wants to do some big stuff in you. But you can't listen to the voices. The voices will shut you down. It's unbelief. You got to distinguish the voices. Please do that. It's the enemy. The Apostle Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Say, stand firm. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, stand firm here. Here's a Greek word, S-T-E-T-E. It's a military term which means hold your position. If you're getting ready to change your position, you're getting ready to not stand firm. If God's given you ground and you're fixing to give it up, the voices are getting you. The Apostle Paul addresses it. You can go to mental hospitals today and everybody's having problems there is listening to the voices. The voices, it's insane. It's insanity. It's not true. It's lies. But you embrace them just the same. Paul brings the book to a close. He wants to remind them to hold a position that he had already told them in Ephesians 1. You got your Bibles? I got to move quickly. Turn right back to Ephesians 1. We've already covered Ephesians 1. But the Apostle Paul, chapter 6, said, I've got to give you some more information so you stand firm in a position. God's given you a position. And in chapter 1, chapter 6, Paul says, okay, you got to stand firm in that position. He's referring back to chapter 1. What does he say? Look at verse 3. What's your position? Blessed be the God and Father. Somebody say, wait a minute, God. Hold on. Blessed be the God and Father. I'm going to have to step down from over here and go over here somewhere.
Stand firm, brother.
I'm going down. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? Stand firm. You see, he's saying stand firm in your position. What's your position? You got blessings, they're in heavenly places. But you got to stand firm in that truth. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame. How are you going to do it? How are you going to be holy and without blame? Because you're going to do what? Look, what's the Bible say there? What's the redress of the verse? What does it say?
Before him in love.
So how are you going to be without blame and holy? Because you're going to be in love. That's how. See, a love covers a multitude of sins. If it ain't covering the sins, you ain't in love. Somebody say amen. Verse 5. Now this is what chapter 6 is saying you to stand firm in. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. Paul's saying in chapter 6, here's what you got to do so you can stand firm in what God's will is. God has a will. But for some reason, we got to stand in agreement with him about the will. And the enemy, the voices, is talking to you, trying to get you to move out of your position. Amen. You think you're moving forward and you're retreating. Amen. Verse 6, he says this, to the praise of the glory. To the praise of the glory. Of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved. Paul says in chapter 6, you got to stand firm in these blessings in heavenly places. And he says you're going to be holy in glory because you got to stand firm in it. And it's going to bring praise to the glory of God. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Say glory. The forgiveness of sin. Say double glory. According to the riches of his grace. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Can you see why the enemy in your circumstance, you see why the voices are talking? It's warfare. All right, I got to move on. It's more look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. You see, if the enemy can get you to move out of your position, he knows that God's not going to get the glory. You're going to get enough evidence on why you should move your position. Don't move. Now I go back to chapter 6. He says to stand firm. Look up here. What the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to knock you from your position. He wants to flatten you to the ground. He wants to knock you down. That's what the voices are doing. They want to knock you down. I was talking to a friend this week. And I told him, I said, you know, you do pretty good when you're standing firm, but when you get knocked down, you just don't make a bit of sense. You got to get back up. You got to stand firm. He wants to knock you down. Look at it in verse 12. For our struggle, say struggle, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now you're not struggling against flesh and blood. Struggle, Greek word, P-A-L-E. It is a wrestling term. He wants to hold you down to the count of three. Now some of you are at two and holding. The voices are talking to you. You can't resolve them. I'm telling you, you're mentally ill. You can't resolve the voices. It's not you. You're not sinning. But you embracing it and holding hands with the lie is. You didn't sin and cause it. But you holding hands with the lie is sin. You got to hear and know the voices are sin. And you repent of sin. Anybody got set free? You understand it. We're going to get set free here. Revival's going higher. But we got to do some plowing. You can't agree with the voices. God is not sitting around telling you everything you're not. He's telling you everything you are. It is sin unto you if you agree with these negative forces. And you just have to repent. You have to call it sin and you have to repent of it. Anybody got a witness? Say, Alan, that's good preaching. All right. He tries to hold you down. He knocks you down. You agree with these forces of evil that's telling you everything you're not. He's trying to get you to the count of three. What's the count of three? You move your position. You see, God puts you in your position. The devil's trying to take you out. I've been in enough mental hospitals that I can tell you what I'm telling you is the truth. And if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you know I'm telling you the truth. And we've got to quit it. We have got to quit it. You got to, and I can't talk you out of it. The Lord showed me in this study. He said, Alan, they got to call it sin. I said, well, God, they didn't sin. He said, no, them agreeing with the lie is sin. I saw it. You are sinning. You didn't do nothing, but you're sinning now because you're holding hands with the enemy. Now, there's truth. You're responsible for it. If you hold it down, if he holds you down too long, you're going to move your position. You're going to lose all your heavenly blessings because you moved your position. God put you in the position. You say, well, I'll get back in that position. No, you didn't put yourself there to start with. God did. You can be strong. Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, we got to put on an armor so we can stand. What does he say here? If you are going to stand, all of the armor must be in place. You are vulnerable in your life where you have dropped any part of the armor. So I'm going to go over a few things right quickly. If you find yourself that you're holding hands with the enemy, you're believing the voice, it's because you have dropped part of your armor and it got you, got into you. You say, well, Alan, I got my shield and I got my sword. Yeah, but you've messed up and left something out. He got in you. He got to you. Schemes of the devil. It's in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil is scheming and he's after you. He's scheming against you. What is a scheme? There's a Greek word. It means that Satan has a plan. It means he's got a strategy. He has got a plan and a strategy. He has been laying this stuff in your life for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. He's had a strategy. It's over a lifetime to take you out. And you'll be at the height of your position in the kingdom, he's going to take you out. Why? He hadn't been working on it the last 3 days. He's been scheming on your life since you were born. All he needs is one bullet to take you out. He's been scheming. Now, his strategy depends on who you are. You say, well, Alan, how can he do that? The strategy of the enemy depends on who you are. You say, well, how does that work? Let's look here. His strategy depends. He's been strategizing against you. He's still strategizing against you. Remember, he knows you. How do you know that he knows you? Because we've already read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now listen, you don't think Satan doesn't know that? He knows your whole history. So what's he going to come against you with? History. You say, well, I thought God cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. God did, Satan didn't. He put you on file. And he pulls you file, and he's going to take that file, and he's scheming against you. And he's got a strategy. And he's going to set you up just right. Now listen, God knew that Satan's got a scheme. He knows he's got a file against you. And God said, okay, if any one of you in here, if you fall, if you've got my love in you, you're going to go help pick that person up, lest you fall. Because he says, I know the enemy's scheming. I know he's got you foul. But God says, my grace will trump your foul as long as you live. And God's saying, will you agree with my grace? Because you got to understand when you're looking at each other and they're in trouble and all of this is going on, you got to understand the devil's scheming. He's got a strategy and he's trying to take you out. So when somebody among you falls, you go pick them up. You dust them off. Say, I love you. He got in on you. You drop part of your armor somewhere because he got a sword in. But it's all right. We're going to heal you up and get you off. And you've got to find out where he got in and fix you up and set you back out here. We got a battle to fight. Anybody got a witness? So the devil knows you because Paul said in Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, it was your former life. He knew all about you. Your battle is not with someone else. How do you know it's a spiritual battle? It's because you can't resolve it. How do you know you're taking the lie and you're holding the hands with the enemy and you're in sin? It's because you think it's somebody else. You have misidentified your enemy. He has now convinced you it's somebody on this planet. And he's sitting back laughing at you. Your battle's not with someone else. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, it's against the world forces of this darkness, it's against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, where's your blessings? Where's the battles? Can anybody connect those dots? If I appear a little bit ticked off at the devil this morning, it's because I am. Listen, I can't set you free. You can't set me free. But you and Jesus can set you free. Don't ask for me to lay hands on you or anybody else. Can't do it. How am I going to lay hands on you or anybody in here lay hands on you and pray for you when you're snuggled up and holding hands with the lies of the enemy? It's all a joke. Spiritual warfare is done by you. Christ in you, this hope of glory, you got the job to do. We'll love you in the midst and you love me, but you got to buckle up and do it. It's because he's after your heavenly blessings in heavenly places, and that's where the battle's going on at. The enemy's trying to keep you down here on earth while he's cleaning your lunch in the heavenlies. Now, somebody needs to be ticked off with me. Amen. Your conflict is not with someone on the contrary. The conflict is between you and the devil. You must identify your enemy. You can't sidestep it. You got to identify your enemy. Excuse me. I just slobbered all over myself. Don't go from here saying we're having a revival and Alan's foaming at the mouth. Don't say it. I just slobbered. That's all that was. Okay. Therefore, you cannot use carnal weapons. You must use spiritual ones. Yeah, we're going to go fix you. I'll fix you. Here's what I'm going to do. You don't know who you're messing with. Well, go ahead and fight that battle. The devil's cleaning your plow. You're getting taken. You're holding hands with the enemy. You got to see his sin. You got to repent. And everything will be all right. The conflict is between you and the devil. 2 Corinthians, Paul says it like this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? So where are the voices? Imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you are having vain imaginations, it's coming against your knowledge of God and you don't know it. And bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Why does he say bring into captivity? Here's what you got to understand. Repetitive thought is stored in memory as truth, whether it's true or not. You've heard me say it before. If you play a piano, or if you can type, or if you can text. First, you got to think about typing. After a while, you don't even think about typing, you just type. Why? It's because those letters that have been stored in your memory as truth, right there they are, and then you just do it. But you got to do it over and over and over. If you're sitting back there thinking repetitive thoughts on people, and they came from voices and they're not true, it's being stored in your memory as truth, whether it's true or not. So the Apostle Paul says, you're insane, you're acting crazy, repent of that sin, grab hold of these thoughts. Take them captive. Take the Word of God and the truth of God. Let that be repetitive thoughts and store that in your memory. That's what he's saying. I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't know what it means when you don't make it, but I don't think I'm going to make it. Paul has already told us something. This is what he said in Ephesians 2:9. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So what Paul's saying, your blessings are in heavenly places. This battle's going on in heavenly places. And he says this, I'm going to give to the church, which is all of us, and we got to have all of us. He says, I'm going to give to the church this authority. I'm going to give them wisdom of God, so it might be made known to the church, to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. In other words, he's saying God's going to give the power of authority to the church. And we're to speak out there to those heavenly places through the power of God. We have authority in those heavenly places. Paul says, that's your position. This is in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 6. He says, don't move from your position. Stand firm in that position. Because the battle's going on out here. You can't see it yet, but it's going on out there. You can't see it, but you can feel it. It's killing you. You can feel it, but you can't see it. So you got to read a sacred book to let you see what's really happening. So we read a sacred book. It tells us what's really happening out there. Paul says, okay, stand firm. You've held hands with the enemy. You got to count it as sin. You got to repent of it. Then he says, not only that, he said, you got to understand, the church has authority to speak out into those heavenly places and tell them what God says about the situation. That's what that's all about. Satan is no longer over you, but he's under you. Now, that's just the way it is. You are going to stand firm if you have done everything. Now, here's a little catch. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the devil or resist in the evil day, and having done everything to do what? Now, this is a key. Having done everything. Now, I'm sorry. The grace of God covers you, but you've got to do something. You got to do everything. If you leave out one of the everythings in the full armor of God, he's going to get you. My goodness, I got 5 minutes. All right, here's what you got to do. You got to stand firm. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. If you are in spiritual warfare, what is your position? Take your position in the heavenlies. What is the truth regarding your warfare? It's in Ephesians 4. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil any opportunity. How do you know that something's got into you? You're angry and you can't resolve it. Paul wrote this whole thing in Ephesians. So here's your position. Here's who you are in Christ. You got to stand firm in that position. But he said, if anger's getting you, something's getting at it, you got to repent. Don't repent. Don't even let the sun go down till you take care of it. It's a cancer. It's getting you. If you are going to win, you must put on the whole armor of God. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You renounce what has been keeping you captive. You give it up entirely. It's got to come from within out. We can't lay hands on you. You got to do it. You got to renounce it as sin. See, Jesus forgives sin. You're trying to get set free of something that you're not repenting of. Does anybody get that? You got to call it sin. You can't say, well, God, I just don't feel good. Make me feel better. No, he says, no, you got to call it sin because Jesus died for sin. He didn't die because you don't feel good. died for sin. So my word is, a lot of us aren't getting set free because we're not calling sin. We're just saying, well, I feel bad or I got my feelings hurt. No, you're agreeing with the devil is what you're doing. You're feeling bad, and I understand that, but you're agreeing with the voices, and it's not the voice of God. What makes you righteous? It's the righteousness of Christ. Protect your feet. You must not be thrown to the ground. Now, here's the big one. The enemy's trying to throw us to the ground. We're struggling. It's like a wrestler throwing us to the ground. Why does he say this? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of what? The way you get thrown to the ground is you lose your peace. There you go. If you've lost your peace, wake up. You're on the ground. He's trying to hold you down to the count of three, and if he holds you down to the count of three, you're off your position. You lost your peace. The enemy's warfare against you is that he does not want you to be at peace with yourself or anybody else. Right? If you can sit there and say, well, everybody's getting on my nerves, you're not at peace. You're on the ground, and you're almost down for the count of three. I told you, when I was in revival one time, the meanest man in the church came up to him and said, I don't understand. I just love everybody. And I was like, this is revival. He's at peace with everybody. He was standing upright, too. He wasn't down. Ephesians 6:23, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The last part of the book of Ephesians, Paul says this, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God. So you got to understand the spiritual warfare. He's trying to get you faith. He's trying to get you peace. He's trying to destroy your love. If you're being hit in all those areas of spiritual warfare, you didn't sin, he didn't sin, they didn't sin, don't make any difference. You're in a battle. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And in addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Arrows there signifies that one of the definitions of that word arrow is trafficking communications. An arrow is when you get communicated. I've talked with people over and over and over. I've sat down. When I talk with people, I very seldom sit down with two people in an argument. Because arrows are going. How do you know arrows are going? There's never no resolve. There's never no resolve. All you do is feel a lot of pain. I've told people, just don't ever talk about it anymore. Well, and I want to get it resolved. I said, well, you're throwing arrows. Just don't talk about it. You got to go on. Just don't talk about it. Well, I thought we had to talk everything out. No, some things you got to put further to the cross and leave it there and go on. Because you're throwing arrows. Trafficking communications. 2 Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Everything exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Guard your mind and use your sword. Now I'm over 1 minute. Give me 2 minutes. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now you've got to get this one with me. Watch this. What is the helmet of salvation? The enemy will come against your mind telling you that you are not a child of God. Why does he say helmet of salvation? What he's talking about is you're saved. The enemy, has anybody ever had the enemy come to you? Well, we reckon I'm really not saved. Well, maybe I am. Well, maybe. Well, listen, if you've ever had a quarter, and if you ever had a quarter and you can't find it right now, does that mean you didn't ever have a quarter? Just means you can't find it, right? But you still got a quarter. See, the enemy comes against your mind. Well, am I saved? Well, if you're wondering if you're saved, you probably are. Lost people don't wonder. Saved people wonder. I've never had a lost man come to me and wonder if he's saved. I never have. Lost people don't worry about that. Saved people worry about it. Why? Voices. It's voices. Are you with me? Lost people don't worry about being saved. Saved people worry about Helmet of salvation. You got to know you're saved. You got to have that helmet on for you going to tell the devil what for. You're the church and you say, I'm here. You got to know you're a son of God, child of God. Are you with me? It says you got to put that helmet on. Be done with that. How do you know if you're saved? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Hallelujah.
Just hallelujah right there. If you've done that one, you're saved. Now put the helmet on. When those voices come to you, understand, identify the enemy. Their voices. Because if he can make you wonder, you're powerless. You're off of your position. Your position is you're a child of God. Here's your position. You got blessings, heavenly places, and you walk around just a little bit bold for Jesus. Because you got your helmet on. Everything in the army, armor at this point is for the defense except one thing. It is to be used as an offensive weapon. You know what it is. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? You see, everything else is to protect you. A shield and your feet and your girdle, just a belt and all this stuff. But you got a sword. It's the only offensive weapon you've got, and it's the Word of God. If you're trying to use your mind to fix where you are, you're trying to fight it with carnal means. One offensive weapon is called the what?
Word of God.
Word of God. I'm going to turn you loose, let you get a chicken egg and a cup of coffee. Is anybody here to what I said?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we love you. Dear God, I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray right now as I'm praying, if there's been any revelation, anybody in here, if they've been listening to the voices, I pray that today they'll think about it, get into worship and think about those voices. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, that they'll agree with the truth of your word. They'll say these voices, they're just of the devil. They're not true. I repent, God, of holding hands with untruth. And Lord, make my mind sane again. Because you've promised me a sound mind. And I only want to hear your voice, not voices. But one voice, that we might have joy, peace, happiness, and that we might kick the devil into hinder parts and through the goalpost of life in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Get you a cup of coffee, a chicken egg, and you got about 10, 12 minutes.